Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.
From KCRW, this is DNA, Design and Architecture. I'm Frances Anderton. Google and Twitter are telling employees that they should keep on working at home. What happens to the workplace as a hub of ideas and social encounters?
I think that the tone going forward in the future is going to be set by smaller, more agile and more creative companies who are going to, in a way, probably be formative in a new workplace concept. I think there's going to be a lot of changes that take place, and I hope the tech companies don't get left behind.
Think big tech, and a particular kind of workplace might come to mind. Foosball tables, meditation rooms, lounging areas, bright colours and catchy artworks, cool coffee bars and cafeterias, and roaming open-plan offices with internal streets and nooks for smaller meetings. These are today's creative office spaces, designed by big names in architecture to stimulate disruptive ideas through environments that are planned for unplanned encounters. Well, now some of these companies, including Google, Twitter, and Square, have told their employees that following the lifting of shelter in place, they can keep on working remotely, perhaps indefinitely. What does this mean for these culture-defining workplaces? I turned for answers to Clive Wilkinson. He's an architect. He designed Googleplex in Mountain View. He designed the Playa Vista offices for the advertising agency Chiat Day, also KCRW's headquarters in Santa Monica. We talked about what too much telecommuting might mean for young people and their formation of identity, for cities, and for the design of home. First up, I asked him what was his reaction when he read that Twitter and Square were telling their employees that they could stay home forever.
Partially horrified. It seems to me that, firstly, I do believe that this is a kind of a knee-jerk reaction from senior executives. I think they've bought themselves time to figure out how they're going to institute social distancing when the last few years we've been all about contracting the distance between people, and workplaces are designed for high density these days. We now are having to look at a completely different formula. We have to look at workplaces that are half the density or less than half the density than they were before. But I also think that it's short-sighted, honestly. They are really forcing people into a situation where collaboration and the sort of the incredibly important human connection that happens through the workplace is now indefinitely put on hold. And that, to me, is going to have all sorts of ramifications. I also think they're going to get left behind because other companies who are not part of that big tech milieu will adapt faster. Frankly, I think they risk losing talent by this move. So they might have set the tone in the past, but I think that the tone going forward in the future is going to be set by smaller, more agile and more creative companies who are going to, in a way, probably be formative in a new workplace concept, which has to do with a hybrid working. I think there's going to be a lot of changes that take place, and I hope the tech companies don't get left behind.
Talk about the hybrid model.
The hybrid model, of course, is really enjoying the benefits of both things. It's enjoying the benefits of quiet remote working. I think it's accepting that the nature of work is partially highly social and partially highly focused, and then letting different environments address those different things. A few years back, we did a project where we saw a kind of an opportunity for hubs to spring up in decentralized ways in cities so that the commute issue issue that people have been struggling with for years, which is only getting worse and worse, could be ameliorated by having local hubs that you go to do work, which could be very social ventures, very much based on the co-working model. And I think there's going to be a lot more fluidity in that sense in the future.
Have you heard from any of your clients, your workplace clients, asking for changes of any sort?
We are, with a few clients, we are addressing the question, but there's a hesitancy to move too quickly because going back to work is still up in the air in many of the places where our clients are located. We are expecting this hybrid thing of sequencing your workers. So there's the Monday-Wednesday shift, the Tuesday-Thursday shift, really to lower the density in the offices in order to achieve the social distancing thing of having enough space between people.
And what about the issue of open plan? Offices had become more and more open plan, and now it looks as if a reversal on that might be being caused by this need for social distancing.
This has always been an amusing topic to me because there have been so many business drivers and social drivers for the open office. And then, of course, there are been a lot of rocks thrown from the sidelines by people who find these open environments intolerable. And, of course, some of them are intolerable because they have not been well conceived and well planned and well thought out. But I do think that the open office is the only way people are working in the future. I think this idea of enclosed rooms for single individuals is a space luxury that no one really can afford anymore. Apart from which, the benefits it offers of sequestering people away more don't seem to be counterbalanced by other aspects. There's too many negative impacts on the social nature of the office that make proliferation of enclosed rooms more of a problem, I think, than a solution.
Even though one's reading from people reflecting on this telecommuting, that many people are saying the one thing they're enjoying is more quiet, more sort of control, perhaps over their thermal environment. You know, there's certain benefits people are finding to working at home that are catching them by surprise.
Well, of course, I think that this is part of the future. I mean, I do actually think remote working from home is part of our future. And maybe hybrid working is, in fact, our future in the foreseeable future. It's going to change how we think about homes. I know for my own sake, I never considered a desk in this house that I'm living in now. I did build a desk in my last house, and I never used it. So as a result, in this house, I didn't make any kind of desk at all. And of course, now I'm regretting that. I think that this is a new aspect to houses and house design, that it's actually kind of an exciting opportunity.
And it has completely fascinating ramifications for the city, as in the way the city's arranged. Los Angeles particularly is arranged with intense level of separation of uses, the sort of suburban mode of urban planning. That appears to be in question right now. What do you think?
Oh, yes. No, yes. I think that's something that young architects, as you and I were both young architects at one point, we're always wishful for, which is a city that breaks down the separation of uses. We do all want to see factories converted into lofts. We do all want to see supermarkets repurposed for some schools and things like this. Completely different breakdown of and merging of uses. I do think it was one of the big mistakes of the early 20th century to attack cities which were super merged before then and start to break them up into zones, initially for good health reasons, mainly because factories were huge polluters, I think. But it went too far. And people living in downtown LA today is a fantastic new thing. And I think spreading commerce into residential areas is a great thing too. Breaking up the single family residential zoning thing in the city is another, obviously hugely controversial, but a very important initiative that at some point in the future is going to land.
I'm wondering if what we might start to see is a kind of generational shift with regards to where people choose to work, because clearly the beneficiaries of shelter in place have been parents when they've wanted to spend more time perhaps with their children or with their partner. For young single people, the workplace is a fantastic social club to go to each day, and young people can't wait to be back.
I think that's an excellent point, and I completely agree with you. The workplace plays a much bigger role with young people than it does with older people. And it mostly, to my mind, has to do with evolving your own identity, evolving your own sense of worth and what your place in the world is, and then using, you know, bouncing off your peers and colleagues in the workplace is all part of establishing who you are and what your contribution could be to society and the world. And that's so sense of self is really fundamental. The workplace plays an enormous role in that. And in a sense, that's where I feel tech companies are really opening themselves up to failure by not actually acknowledging the role that the workplace plays in people's sense of who they are.
And also their social and sexual selves. The workplace is where the majority of people meet their partners. I mean, really, the workplace plays a very profound role as a social condenser.
Yes, I know. In our small little office 20 years ago, when we had a bunch of young people, at least a third of them, in fact, hooked up, and most of them got married and had babies. So it is extraordinary how that is the microcosm. The workplace is the microcosm of the greater world.
But you, in your work, have very much framed the workplace almost as a kind of a mini city. So if the workplace slightly lessens in having that role, then what happens to the city?
Ooh, a good point. I mean, I think the city itself is in danger at this moment in time. As we all know, the shift that's happened with forms of retail and entertainment and restaurants, etc., struggling to survive or temporarily shut down is a huge threat to the life of the city. I think we all wonder what's happening to our main streets if they lose all their retail. What is left of the city? So I think there's a huge question about, you know, where is that going, and also do corporations, the big employers of the city, have a role to play in a revitalization of the streets, which I do strongly believe they should. So we do have a massive question mark over this subject right now.
Pandemics have brought about big urban changes in the past, including suburbanization, for the reasons that you mentioned earlier. For you as an architect, are you seeing anything about this pandemic that particularly interests you and even excites you in terms of moving forward in the future?
I think the most exciting thing to me is about engagement with the home, something I had never thought about in the past, that you could spend so much time at home and become kind of acquainted, reacquainted with your home in a way that's much more meaningful than it has been in the past. I think a lot of our lives have been incredibly fluid. We've been in and out of homes. Work has taken, and the office has taken, a big toll on our sort of wakeful lives. This opportunity to spend much more time in a domestic environment gives you a new sense of values about the domestic environment and about your relationships on that sort of family or domestic level. There's also the sort of connectivity with the outside world through media like we're doing right now, which is pretty fantastic. And to be able to host, as we've done, you know, cocktail parties with people, you know, scattered over the world, is pretty amazing, which we hadn't really considered before. So there are new opportunities that are opening up for connecting because technology itself is now more at the forefront of mind as a way of reaching out to people.
So for architects whose typical career path might start with designing homes and then move on to other projects, project types, do you think the home is going to become, once again, a really interesting design problem?
Oh, totally, because now you have to think about it almost in a commercial sense. Like when I am working at home, there's a commercial nature to that environment. It's what's also seen, you know, in your Zoom call. I think all of those things are going to shift in the future. The dining room has sort of collapsed, and its place perhaps is the home office. In forms that don't have to be, I think, supported by traditional furniture necessarily, because, you know, products like the laptop are just so incredibly flexible. You can flop down anywhere with a laptop. So I do think that means that a home office is not necessarily a predictable little, you know, desk in the corner. How we rethink the home now is opened up to how do we want to live our lives both in public and in private within the same space.
Well, Clive Wilkinson, very well put. Thank you so much.
Oh, Frances, it's such a pleasure.
That was Clive Wilkinson, architect. I'm Frances Anderton. Thank you for listening to the DNA podcast. Stay tuned and stay well.